This is CliffCentral.com. The Unview, the Thin, the Rich, and the Fabulous on CliffCentral.com.
And it is the Unview, the Thin, the Rich, and the Fabulous. Good morning, good morning, good morning. I'm Alan Ford, and it's really good to be with you. The magic of radio, especially unscripted radio. Radio where you can say things like shit and you don't get into trouble. No, I try not to use profanities. Except for when Sumizi was here. We used to talk about things that used to make your head spin. But now he's making that nonsense in Metro and getting into lots of trouble. We are planning to get him on the show in the next couple of weeks to reconnect with our brother Sumizi. And of course, the Unview's got magic stuff on it across the board. And that's what we do here every single Thursday morning, 9 o'clock. It's good to be with you on cliffcentral.com. A packed show today. My special guest in studio is Janice Honeyman. Now, let me tell you, besides being Mrs. Producer, besides all the pantomimes, besides bringing the Color Purple and directing it when it comes next year, she's probably one of the biggest former TV stars back in the 1980s. But really has produced and directed everyone in South Africa, anyone that touches the stage. And she lives in Cape Town. It's very difficult to get her into her studio because she's packed. So we have her coming in. So we're very blessed. And, of course, because I wanted to get some people that have worked with her before. So we've got Andre Schwartz, who's a top – he played the Phantom in the Phantom of the Opera. Of course, he's a top TV actor and singer, musician. We also got Jeremy Mansfield on the line. You remember Jeremy Mansfield from the morning show on 94.7? It used to be our competition. Gareth and I, we used to love aggravating him. But anyway, we're all good friends. We're also going to chat to someone called Mo Magic. We haven't had this before on the show. This is an amazing magic magician. He's also a mentalist and a comedian, and his new show is coming to the Fringe in Johannesburg next week. We're also going to chat about Jam Josie. Mafiki Zola is going to be performing. Going to be good to see Mafiki Zola after the USA back on stage. They're going to be on the show, not this week, the week after, by the way, which is lovely to have Mafiki Zola on the show. But we're going to talk to Sean Aboud from Motherland Band, one of the top bands that are performing there. We'll talk about Jam Josie. But, you know, I always love to start the show chatting about great food because I'm a foodie. So who's the thin, who's the rich, and who's the fabulous? We pick some of the best directors in terms of best chefs, best people in the food business. And I came across a place that I thought was really, really incredible. It's called Joe and Co. Coffee and Kitchen. Now, I kind of like to find a little bit of a spot where you can walk in, grab a cup of coffee, grab something to eat, have a little mezze breakfast, because I am Lebanese, which is kind of kind of cool. It's not always about being so fancy and going to the Greenhouse and to Beluga and these fancy places. It's also about going to your local deli and grabbing something cool and fresh and great to eat. And I went with someone, they had a pastrami on rye. And you know that we had Yom Kippur yesterday, so all our Jewish brothers and sisters were fasting. But it's a big Jewish dish to have a pastrami on rye. It's like a big Yiddish thing. And so they went crazy for it, and they thought that was absolutely brilliant. So on the line, I've got Joe Rami from Joe and Co. Coffee and Kitchen. Joe, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Alan. Thank you.
And I've got to tell you, it is a great eating experience, and you say that in your signage. I mean, it's pop in, have a coffee, meet some local friends, play some cards if you want to, play a bit of play some shesh besh or something, have some breakfast. I love the concept. Tell us about it and tell us how it all started.
Well, I'd like it to be your local, you know, like when you go to a pub, but instead of a pub, this is a place for eating, good experience.
It's your local food house, you got it.
Yeah, I'm eating all the profits.
Well, don't worry, I'll be joining in eating your profits. But the nicest thing was that the food is, it's home food, but it reminds me of a proper New York or New Jersey deli in some sense. Is that where how you base the concept?
Well, it's comfort eating, and I've tried to put a little bit of America into it with my Chicago-style hot dogs, the New Yorker, which is a smoked salmon cream cheese on a soft bagel, your Joe Burger with cheese. It's a typical New York-style food with a bit of a Middle East flair, you know, with the cream cheese, olives, raviola cheese, your za'atar pita breads, hummus and tahini, that type of stuff. Plus, we do fresh croissants. And Helen's Cake supplies me with all my cakes and pastries, which we have a big pastry table selection.
Joe, I must
so
say,
it's fantastic.
I mean, Helen's Cakes are exceptional. And I mean, if people know, there's a secret in Johannesburg around a good cake, and it is Helen's. And it's around right across the road from you, isn't it? Because you're in Craig Hall Park.
Right next door to me.
Oh, right next door. Okay, well, that's
brilliant. So it's easy. They deliver to me fresh every day.
Okay.
And then I do daily specials as well, stuff that's not on the menu. I have a plat du jour, like a plate of the day, either pasta, or today I've got a pepper steak and chips, all homemade stuff. And, yeah, it seems to be taking off. I've also got now Illy on board. They've supplied me with my coffee, and I've just put in a good coffee machine. So everything seems to be going well.
And we do love this type of thing. We love the fact that people can actually sit down, walk in, kind of family. It
yes,
is absolutely deli done.
I see Norman Backus walking in from Backus Brothers.
So there's just Norman Backus just walked in. Okay. So there's a pun for Backus Brothers.
It's also a place to be seen.
Okay, so it is a place to be seen. another question. Tell me, Joe, you're very famous for your pastrami on rye, your proper own old pastrami on rye that a lot of our Jewish people love, you know. I mean, tell me about your pastrami on rye. And again, where are you getting all your meats from? Where are you getting all your cheeses from?
Well, I do my own roasting and that of the pastrami and that. And I also buy from wholesalers. And we import a bit of the cheeses and the anchovies and stuff like that.
And the whole idea is to come there, enjoy great food, and sit around a table and just celebrate life in some respects. And proper old
yes,
daily stuff.
Also, if you we do a lot of platters. If, you know, if you've got a function and you need either an antipasto platter or a cheese platter, you just tell me if you want imported, local, whatever type of platter you need. You drop your platter off and then you pick it up in the afternoon.
Joe, I heard something when I was there. I heard someone come up to you and say, listen, can you do this for me? And you just said, we can do anything for you.
Anything, whatever you want. If we've got it, you can have it.
Which is brilliant. It's called Joe and Co's Coffee and Kitchen, a great eating experience. It is in Craig Hall Park, just off Jan Smuts. It's very easy to find.
It's in the Willow Center.
In the Willow Center. Joe, quickly just tell me something. If people want to order a platter or want to get some information, how can we get a hold of you? Do we call you on your cell?
I've got my cell and a landline, but I'll give you my cell.
Let's do it that way.
I've got my cell with me all the time.
Give us the number.
It's 082.
Yes.
577.
Got it.
5408.
That's Joe and Co's Coffee and Kitchen, a great eating experience. 082-577-5408. Joe, congratulations.
Thank you, Alan. I think it's great eating.
I think it's a great way to do stuff. And of course, takeaways. You do takeaways.
We do takeaways. Not doing deliveries as yet, but we will in the near future.
And you're not open for dinner. Is that correct? You're not open for
no,
it's 7 in the morning.
Kitchen. 7 in the morning till the kitchen closes at 4, but we still open until 5 for cakes and pastries and coffee.
Magic. Thank you, Joe, for joining us. That's Joe Rami from Joe & Co. And, on the Unview, you know, we do many, many things, my love. We do so many clever things that you go to the best restaurants, but you also love to eat at proper old deli, where you get back to the basics of a pastrami and rye, you know, good old Yiddish stuff. And again, happy a good fast to all our Jewish listeners. So now, talking about other magical things happening in Johannesburg. Last week I was in Cape Town, as you remember. There is something happening called Jam Josie. Now, I mean, I love a vibe, don't we all? And when you got bands like the Motherland Band, when you got people like Mafiki Zola, when you have people like, if you think about some of the Matthew Mole, you know that we're going to rock and roll on a weekend here in Johannesburg like none other. And I think that is really, really cool for school. So on the line from one of our bands that are performing there, a guy called Sean Aboud. Sean, welcome to the show. Thank you for joining me.
How's it going?
How are you doing, brother? Are you well?
Yeah, I'm cool, man.
Sean, tell us about Jam Josie.
So basically Jam Josie is a festival celebrating South African music with over 21 artists performing on one stage over 2 days. We try to make it really affordable so that everybody, you know, can go and celebrate, you know, the top bands that we have in the country. So tickets are $100, which is quite awesome. So yeah, we're excited.
So $100 to get in to go and see that is crazy. I mean, you think about it, most concerts cost you R500. So to have $100.
That's the thing. So we've created a festival that's affordable for everybody to go, you know, across all cultures. And, you know, they can pay 100 rand for a day pass, or they can pay 150 for a whole weekend pass. And then that gives you access to all the music throughout the festival.
I know that, I mean, we're thrilled to see that Motherland Band will be performing, but of course Mafikizolo will be there, which is, they've just come back from the US.
Yeah, so we've got it's such an awesome lineup. It's Mafikizolo, it's Matthew Mole, Rubber Duck, Short Straw, Albert, BCUC, Urban Village, Bar Benico, the list just goes on. It's a really, really big lineup. We've also got a few DJs like Ross Jack and Chanda Monkey, the Kefnis, so it's really diverse.
Sean, will people be able to, obviously, are there going to be bars? Is it going to be food places?
Yeah,
tell
so
us
we've
about
got
the
a smash
vibe.
Village. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's like a smash village where you can go to the different like lanes where you can get different sorts of food. Like, you know, there's I think there's over 20 different food traders, which is quite exciting. Mm-hmm. There's also a whole bunch of different bars, like, but it's all exclusive. So there's one craft beer bar, there's one cocktail bar, there's, you know, there's one wine bar. So that sort of vibe. So you can, you know, you don't have to stand in long queues to get a drink, which is quite exciting. We've also got a VIP section where you pay $6.95 for unlimited drinks for the whole weekend, which is awesome.
Oh, that is really cool. I'm going to that place. I'm going to be there. I'm at the VIP bar. $6.95.
No, sure.
You can see all the shows and you drink as much as you want. This is, you know, can I tell you what I like, what I hate about concerts? And Sean, it sounds a little bit prehistoric, but or I sound a bit like a Neanderthal. But the sad thing is that, you know, you go and get a big beer and then you have to watch the concert and you got to leave. I like the idea of a festival where you can go grab something to eat, you can walk around, you can get a few drinks. You know, you can, you know, you don't have to just grab one like normal like castle beer and then you're stuffed and you have to watch the concert.
So that's I love the cool thing. You've got a lot of options. And the other good thing is that, like, you know, most of the time to drive out to a music festival, you've got to go somewhere far away. Like, currently now I'm standing on the edge of the Swaziland border, way to Mozambique to play at the Four Festival. And, you know, you have to drive for 8 hours to get to a music festival. Then you've got to camp and everything like that. Now you can go to Monte Cassino, you know, watch music from 10 a.m. in the morning all the way till 11 o'clock at night, then get in an Uber, go home and come back the next day. That's what I love about it. It's in the city. It is in the city.
And it's not, and again, because it's Monte Cassino, you're limited to like 5,000 people. So you're not going to have 45,000 people. Well, hopefully you
Well, we could fit about 12,000 people in that event area. It's the event area behind Monte Cassino, which is massive. But, you know, we'd be happy with 15,000 people throughout the weekend. So 7,500 a day would be amazing.
Okay, well, that's magical. Sean, tell me about Motherland Band.
Yeah, so the Motherland Band is just an indie folk rock band that's passionate about the music industry. And we just play music, you know, like every other band. But, we've got a new album dropping next year, early next year. We just released our new single, By the Water. And we've got another new single coming out at the end of October.
So we look forward to getting you into the studio, and we'll love to meet the band and get you to come rock and roll, either with myself or with Gareth Fiff.
Sorry, what did you say?
I said it'd be good to get you guys in studio when the new album comes out.
Yes, no, we'd love to be there. Yeah, no, it'd be awesome. We were there recently. On Brent Lindekew's show, but yeah, I would love to come again.
We'll come and rock and roll. Thank you, Sean. Yeah. Sean Aboud from...
Cool, man. Have a good weekend.
Be good, my brother. That is from the Motherland Band happening at Jam Josie. But I'm so excited because we're talking about, like, I love concerts and I love bands. And I like controlled areas where there's thousands of people and you've got to stand there waiting for hours. Come on. You've got to agree. Got to agree. This is CliffCentral.com. My name is Alan Ford. It's good to be with you here this morning. The sun is shining. Summer is in the air. 30 degrees in Johannesburg. Cape Town's a bit miz. But hey, I mean, I must say, I spent 2 weeks there, so it was really cool. Coming up on the show, we're going to have Janice Honeyman in a moment. We're also going to chat to Jeremy Mansfield and Andre Schwartz to talk about what it was like to work with the great Janice Honeyman. And we're also going to chat about... a new magician coming to the Fringe at the Joburg Theatre called Mo Magic from Durban. We leave the Durbanites. We leave the Durban people out so often, so we're going to include them. But, you know, I thought, while this is a beautiful Thursday morning, there isn't anything better than the traditional Mafikizolo.
When you're a CIO in a growing corporate, there's no just taking care of yourself and that's that. When you're a CIO, people see IT as a cost rather than a strategic investment. But we know you knew that. We know that between the successes and failures, the courage to continue is what counts. We also know that food is on other people's plates because of your job. The courage to grow is business. We've got the advisors, products and solutions that enable you to do so. MTN Business, a new world of business.
Hamba nawe, Mafikizola. That's going to be a jam, Josie. And they're coming into studio. They are great. They're coming into studio, yeah. This is Mafikizola. And it's a very popular song. It's a great, great song. This is The Unview on Cliff Central. It's good to be with you. Of course, we talk theatre, we talk food, we discuss the magic of the TV, the entertainment business as a whole. And you know, this is the first time we're having a magician on the show. It's called Mo Magic. And it's coming to the Fringe at the Johannesburg Theatre next week. And it's a 90-minute show with amazing magic, mentalism, and comedy. And we have Mo Magic on the line from Durban, from KwaZulu-Natal. Mo, thank you for joining us.
Oh, it's only a pleasure. How are you?
You know, I'm excellent, thank you. And so often, you know, we forget that there's talent in Durban. Stephen Steed would kick my ass, but
well,
yeah.
Well, I joke with people and I say that I have a PO box in Durban, but I travel nationally and abroad. But yeah,
brilliant. Tell me, Mo, about the show. It's coming next week, the 19th of October, to the Fringe.
Yes, 19th is the media night and a special night where I invite guests who made time to be on my TV show. So I treat them with that. Mm-hmm. But the show opens publicly on the 20th. That's next week, Thursday, at the Fringe. That's at the Joburg Theatre and runs until Sunday the 23rd. So Thursday, Friday, Saturday night are 7:30 p.m. shows, and Sunday we've got a matinee at 2 p.m.
So tell me, so I mean the show itself is about magic, mentalism, and comedy. First and foremost, are you a traditional magician?
No.
Okay, that's
no.
So no Houdini.
No. Well, there is. But when you say traditional, what do you mean by traditional? Well, go ahead.
Well, are you pulling a rabbit out of a hat? Or is it a
no,
more
that's what I meant. No. This is a contemporary and style of magic. I travel abroad. I go for conferences and things like that. So I'm up to date with what's happening in global trends with magic. And the tour started in Durban in February, and the response has been amazing. This is the first time in South African history that a South African magician is touring with a national theatre show. So it's quite exciting, and there's a lot in store for everybody ages 6 upwards. So it's a family show, and whether you've got kids, whether you're single, whether you've got a partner, you know, there's something in the show for everybody to enjoy.
Of course, we saw you on SABC 3. Your series has just ended. Congratulations. It was really great. You also do something called mentalism. For someone that doesn't know what mentalism is, what is it?
Yes, mentalism is a genre of magic that has become very popular over the last few years.
So is it levitation and stuff?
No. Mentalism is commonly referred to as mind-reading magic. So the allure of that is that the performer creates the illusion that he's reading the participant's thoughts. So during the 90-minute performance, I begin with a bit of comedy to disarm and relax the audience. I proceed with sleight-of-hand magic, and then I transition into the mentalism, and I explain to the audience what mentalism is, and as we veer into that, I also tell them about a show called The Mentalist that many people know about, it's about using... like the character Simon Baker, he's like a modern day Sherlock Holmes, where he uses like body language and observation and deduction to infer certain things about people, creating the illusion of reading their mind. So that's a little bit of what it's about, but it's quite exciting, quite intriguing. Another performer overseas who's made a career of being a mentalist and has phenomenal success is Darren Brown.
Definitely.
So a lot of people know Darren Brown, and I had the pleasure of meeting him, a phenomenal individual. So there's that, there's the mentalism, the magic, and there's, I'm going to just, for the first time as part of this tour, I'm going to sneak it out here that I've not told anybody before and I've never said it on a press release, but the end of the show, the final illusion, is something that people do not expect. So they have a 90-minute show, but the end illusion, people leave the audience going, what happened? That was impossible. That was amazing. So something for everybody to enjoy. And, you know, I consider myself an ambassador for the art of magic in South Africa. And the TV show was about taking magic to South Africans in their homes. And the theater show is essentially about taking magic to people in their cities and towns. That's all. That's the real reason.
And touching magic, I would imagine. Touching or having the experience of interaction of magic.
Exactly. You make such a good point there, because magic is best experienced live.
It has to be. That's what it's about. That's the best part of it. Mo, we look forward to seeing your show. It opens to the media, as you said, on the 19th of October. The 20th, you're open to the general public. Where can people book? Obviously, it's CompuTicket.
Yes, they can. They can book at joburgtheatre.com or web tickets. And if you follow me on social media, it's Mo Magic on Facebook and Twitter. And Instagram, it's Mo Magic SA. I've got pinned tweets and pinned, the first tweet or the first status that comes up has a direct booking link. Or you can go to momagic.co.za. There's a pop-up that comes up with a direct booking link to bookings on web tickets.
We love the Joburg Theatre. We love the work that they do there. Thank you for joining us, and good luck on your run.
Thank you so much. Have a lovely day and keep up the wonderful work.
Thank you so much. That is the magic of Mo from Durban. Mo Magic, don't miss it, at the Johannesburg Theatre. And of course, so many great things happen at the Johannesburg Theatre, because starting very, very soon, and I mean, it has been year on year, and it must kill you, Janice Honeyman. Welcome firstly to studio, an absolute legend.
Thank you.
It's so good to have legends on this program. And I must tell you, you know, we've had people like, obviously, Dawn Lindbergh, and people like Peter Turin, and we've had people like Richard Loring, and we've had people like Hazel Feldman.
We're all kind of legendary. But we're all about the same age.
And now I've got you in studio, which is absolutely fantastic. Thank you for joining me.
It's a pleasure.
And thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
You're directing, as you always do, the pantomime that opens in at the Joburg Theatre, in the main theatre.
Yeah.
And this year, Robin Hood.
Robin Hood and the Babes in the Wood. And I just quickly want to say before we even start that it's great that Mo Magic is going to be in the theatre, because we've got a magic moment in the panto and we're not quite sure what to do. So we're just going to hoik him out from the fringe and he can come and explain a bit to us.
That is a great idea. You see, you just got connection.
Yeah,
that's
great. So Mo, we're going to meet you.
You are an actress and director, a producer. You started out as a performer. Back in the day.
Yeah, yeah.
And well, tell us about your first performance. How did that start?
Well, I was at University of Cape Town. I always wanted to be a veterinarian, that word, a vet.
A vet.
And I had failed maths in JC. So that put paid to that. I couldn't do that anymore. I couldn't do any of the sciences. And I don't know, I kind of slipped into drama. And went through University of Cape Town Drama School performing, and suddenly got myself they did auditions, and suddenly I found myself in what was then the Transvaal, and it was the first. I was 20, turned 21 a week after, and it was the first time I'd ever been out of the Cape. So I came up here, and I was an actress for a while, and then broke my leg.
I broke your leg.
I broke my leg and couldn't walk on it for 8 months.
So someone said you broke a leg before you entered the stage,
and I broke a leg. And so then I became a director.
And the difference between being on this side of the of being on the stage or on that side of the camera and directing for you?
A million times directing. I'm a comedy actress. I'm a character actress, but it's just really lekker to be on the other side, to be actually, well, apart from anything else, to be bossing people around.
I'm a director producer. I love bossing people. It goes my way or the highway.
Absolutely. I love working with actors, but I don't know. I think I've lost my nerve as far as acting goes anyway.
Well, you think about it. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of pressure. It's a lot of stress. You've got to look good. You've got to run and sing and dance and remember those
lines. You've got to be fit and you've got to be young.
I'm not that old, but trust me, I'm not that fit. So I had one pleasure, and I talk about it quite often, to produce and perform.
Oh, yeah.
In a musical. Actually, at the Thyssen, which is the Fringe.
That's right, yeah.
It was a musical called Debbie Does Dallas, if you brought off the West End.
Was it rude?
It was very rude. It was nude, and I was in it. And I produced
and were you
it
nude?
With Bernard Jack. Yeah, and I wasn't. Well, other parts and times. Yeah. It was very interesting. I got over body issues very quickly. But it was the hardest job on earth.
Yeah.
It is very difficult.
Do you know that when the kids do the panto, I call them the kids, they're my babies, but when my actors do the panto, I think they lose 2 kilos during the run, just from hard work and energy and putting it out there and perspiring and those costumes and just giving and giving and giving. We have to alter their costumes halfway through the run. They lose so much weight.
Can I be in your next panto?
Actually, that's what I should do as well.
Yeah, I might be. We might be joining them the next.
Yeah.
But it is hard work, and it is because you do. You're doing a performance in the morning or at 10 o'clock.
Yeah, it's 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock. Hell to act at that time of the morning.
And then you're doing one in the evening. Yeah. You're sometimes doing 3 a day, aren't you?
Yeah. I'm not sure which days they do 3, but sometimes it is 3 a day.
I mean, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of energy, but it's a lot of joy, because everybody who goes to the panto, and I've had the pleasure of seeing through the years many of your shows.
You must have been a picky when you first saw, well, we saw first the first saw one. Yeah,
but you go with a grandparent. You go as an adult yourself. Mm-hmm. You go as a kid.
Yeah.
You get different parts of it that, I mean, certain rude parts of last year, Toby Cunha, the dress went up or some funny lines here and there.
Yeah.
But the best part of it is that it appeals to everyone.
Yeah. I think it brings the kid out in adults, you know, and it also makes kids feel adult because of the slightly risque jokes that are in there, which sometimes, you know, they used to not understand, and it used to go above their heads, and I'd do something physically comic for them to laugh at while the parents were reacting to a rude joke.
Mm.
Now the kids tell you the rude jokes and the parents don't understand them.
It's showing you the world is it's called social media, you see, and TV. We're all picking it up now. Because every program you watch on television that has an underlining sexual joke in it, or a fat joke, or a gay joke for that matter, all that type of stuff.
Well, the panto's got all of those.
Yeah. Which is,
I'm not afraid to say, I'm proud to say.
I was so proud to see the caliber of costumes and the caliber of set that comes through.
Yeah.
You had the dragon coming out last year.
Yeah.
Which I thought, well, I mean, that is, which is for sleeping, was
Sleeping Beauty. Yeah.
But again, another exceptional thing that you do to make it more entertaining, more lifelike, because it becomes such a great experience. How many people come and see the panto every year? What are the numbers?
Well,
have you ever worked it out?
I think we play to somewhere between 75 and 80,000 people a season. So,
and that is 80,000 people.
I think it's about that.
I so would use it as an election campaign or something.
Yeah, yeah, well, okay.
I mean, if I was going to go into politics, I'm just saying.
The panto party.
I mean, it's because it's 80,000 people that you touch, that you connect
with. I think
it's
80.
Well, around there.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, those are big numbers.
No, they are big numbers, and it's interesting that it's become a tradition, and that when you say there's so many people, some of them come twice and three times and even four times. Mm. There was one guy who used to sit, one of the shows, I think it was Peter Pan, used to sit in the front row, and he was there for about 16 performances.
Really?
And he used to scream and shout, and he used to shout the jokes out before they were happening, because he knew it.
That man perhaps needs a life, but that's just me. Or Peter Pan, who's starting Peter? Was Jacques Tourblanche?
Yes.
Jacques Tourblanche was in another one.
Aladdin, I think. But you know who was in Peter Pan was Chatty Matty.
Yes.
Yeah.
Matthew Coonan. Yes. Yeah. Yes,
he,
of course.
He played one of the little boys. He flew. Yes. And he wore a top hat, which made him taller.
Maybe that man was there to look at other things. Good looking men. Or women, for that matter. So you've had this year, and I mean these years in this business, and of course the pantomime, people know you famously for that recently. But if you go back in your career, what are some of your highlights, that besides panto? But if you look back in directing and acting, what are some of your highlights?
Well, I mean, it goes back to 1970, and that's a lot of highlights. And, you know, actually, as you do things, you enjoy those the best. You have to, otherwise it's not successful. But I would say playing the part of Tilly in The Effect of Gamma Rays on Man in the Moon Marigolds was one of my first professional jobs, and I just loved doing it. It was really, it was serious, it was deep, it was a wonderful play. In fact, I would love to direct it again, I must say. Now, I couldn't play the part, she was very young. I've loved doing The Tempest. I love doing Shakespeare. And I worked on a production with the Baxter Theatre and the Royal Shakespeare Company of The Tempest with Sir Anthony Sher and Dr. John Carney playing the two leads. And that was really a highlight because it played in Cape Town and then went over to Stratford-on-Avon and we had a wonderful time. And for the rest, you know, the highlights, as you do them, they're highlights. I loved working with the Brickhill Burkes and playing Agnes Gooch in Mame. And just meeting the Brickhill Burkes was a highlight in my life because they became friends and they taught me a huge amount about theatre. So Mame was a bit of a highlight, I'd say. Also on the, what was then the Civic Theatre stage, but it's now the Joburg Theatre. So, yeah, there've been lots.
When you look at your directing, I mean, it's coming up. The Color Purple.
Oh, yes, yeah. Oh, I'm excited about that.
This is a great project. Bernard Jay is bringing it as the producer to the Pretoria State Theatre and, of course, or the South African State Theatre as it's now known. But, I mean, this is what a production to be able to...
I can't tell you. I mean, I read the book way, way back when it first came out and I thought, yo, this is fantastic. And I thought then this would be great on the stage. It is the same as the book, but obviously it's been musicalized and dramatized. Mm-hmm. And it's a very, very good show. And the wonderful thing about it is that it's got depth. It's got real, the psychology of each of the characters is really accurate, I think. And it's a nice meaty piece with wonderful music. So it's got gospel, it's got, jazz, it's got current music. It's just beautiful.
I saw it with Fantasia,
who was
the winner of, I think, one of the third or fourth American Idols.
Yeah.
On Broadway.
Yes. How long ago was that?
That was about 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Exactly 10 years ago.
The production that you saw has been reworked and reshaped. And so the production that we're doing now is actually currently on Broadway.
Okay.
It's not that production. I'm allowed to do my own production of it. It doesn't have to be a replica.
Which is great.
Yeah, no, well, it's fantastic. I won't do replica productions because I want to be the creative one.
Well, exactly. Because that's what the secret of the pantomime is. Because you're not singing, one day my prince will come.
No.
See when Gigi's like, I'm going to rock you, baby. You know, something.
There's some good ones this year.
I can't wait. And it's nice. Well, okay. What are one of the songs this year that you're redoing or remixing is the word actually.
We're doing. There's a lot of kind of glam rock. There's stuff from the 90s, from right now, very contemporary. The latest. What always happens is that the musical director, who's Rowan Bucker this year, we go into Musica and we ask them for their best playlists.
Really? You know, say, okay, well, I love it. But, we're going into Musica.
I have to go into Musica. Rowan knows it.
You've got to double check.
Yeah, when we get to about June, I have to switch off Beethoven and Mozart and Bach and opera and start listening to the current radio program. And you know what's an interesting thing, so it's in the show now, in fact, Kate Normington sings it, is that I've been shopping in Woolworths last month and the month before, and every single time I went there, they were playing Never Ending Story. So, of course, it's lovely.
That never-ending story.
I mustn't sing. I won't try and sing it because I can't.
But
yes.
Did you sing?
You know what? No. I was kicked out of the choir in Standard 3, and I never attempted it again.
Yet you do these huge songs.
It's transmitting what I'd love to do into other
it's
people.
It's transference, yeah.
I did sing in Mame, and interestingly enough, I won the Gallo Musical Performance of the Year. And one of our theatre people, in front of an audience of 1,000 people, said, oh, and look who's won the musical performance, and that for someone who can't even sing. I was quite humiliated, but I won the award, so it was putting across a number.
I would say, yeah. First of all, was remember singing again. Mm. You know, some people can be brilliant, but if you get certain roles where you have to, you can do certain things with your voice.
Yeah,
It works, and you can.
You can talk sing anyway with certain roles.
Correct. Correct. Like Miss Hannigan in Annie, you can really go. But, little girl, but you know you can.
Yeah. Agnes Gooch in MAME, I had to hit a B flat. Now, to be honest, I don't even know what a B flat means. But it was the highest. No, I mean, I just used to have to knape and go for it, you know. And the conductor, if I got the note right, which was probably about 5 times in the whole run, used to give me a thumbs up. But most nights, he would thumbs down.
My special guest in studio is Janice Honeyman. We're trying to get Andre Schwartz on the line, but he's just moved to a farm.
Oh, good boy.
Close to the cradle. And he's, I don't know what he's, it seems to be a movement happening at the moment. I don't know. All my friends are moving to farms. I don't know what's going on. I don't know. I want to ask you, I'm going to put Sumizi on a farm. Like gay revolution. Let's all go to a farm. So I don't what, everyone's farming. Back to nature. I don't know how it goes. So you're based in Cape Town.
Yes.
You lived in Johannesburg for a long period of time.
30 years.
I know. What made you move back?
Well, I moved back for various reasons, a relationship, and also my parents were getting old and I needed to be close to them. And when my mom died, then I needed to be with my dad. So I moved down, and that must have been about 17 years ago, to be with my dad. And, of course, worked a lot in the theatre when I was down there as well. Manny Manum was running the Baxter at that stage, and Manny's one of my role models and my, you know, an enabler, really. And so I did a lot of productions in Cape Town as well, and I do opera and I do musicals. And so Cape Town's been very kind to me. I think, you know, I was a Cape Town girl. I left them. They were hell of a cross about that. But then when I came back, they were fine.
Well, at least you've been there 17 years, so you're a Capetonian again.
Yeah,
because you were kind of in exile in Johannesburg.
Yeah,
I know. I'm still trying to get there. I live in both cities, and I love the dynamic of both cities.
Yeah.
I mean, Joburg has such a different energy, a different work ethic in some respects.
Yeah.
Well, I find theatres, I find Cape Town in general is very zen and having a drink at lunch, wine at lunch.
And, yes. And
Joburg doesn't do that.
Beautiful views.
Yes, of course.
You know, I still get, you understand the thing of taking your breath away. When you drive around Camps Bay, Hout Bay, you literally gasp at the beauty, but then you can get so chilled that you hardly do anything. You know, like Cape Town vibe is very slow. So you've got to keep yourself up. You've got to keep yourself working. Otherwise, you sink into the beauty of it.
We haven't had the pleasure to work together, but let me ask you this question. If I had to work with you or for you, however you want to say it, and immediately, what explain the work of Janice. So we get in there, we're on time, we're not late, we know our
part. Yeah, now you get into big trouble if you're late.
Really, hey?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just so what is, tell me about working with or for Janice Honeyman.
Well, I think that my one of my very important parts of the theatre is to, first of all, find the honesty in it. So when I write a pantomime, for instance, even there have to be the moments where the audience feels the sadness of a character, the vulnerability of a character, the reality, the reasons for being horrible and ugly and villainous, the reasons for being full of fun and magic. Then comes all the wit, but I go to the text first. I'm a text director, and so obviously with the serious theatre that I do, that's very, very important. And sometimes I sit for a week before we put them on the stage, just exploring the text.
Because you write the pantomime.
I write the pantomime.
Okay.
We don't sit for a week with that. We get on our feet quickly, and everybody contributes. And the panto is great because it's like a silly. And I'd cast you as Tinkerbell for a start. And then.
it's fun.
And then you'd come and you'd have a lovely time and you'd think of all the Tinkerbell things to do. And we'd put you in a tutu and you'd dance and you'd sing.
I would do that.
Come next year. Just phone Bernard and ask him.
I could just do I could play a Tinkerbell. I'm telling you. But I'm Auntie Tinkerbell.
She doesn't play games. She's not little. Tinkerbell's got
beautiful.
Yeah,
Matsuel.
Yeah.
I'm up for that. Actually, that'll be interesting. I said I would never do theatre again, but hey, never say never.
Yeah. We're not actually doing Peter Pan next year, so you can't play Tinkerbell.
But well, in 3 years' time, it's fine.
3 years' time, whenever we're next doing.
Yeah. What are you doing next year?
Pinocchio.
Ah. Oh.
And Pinocchio is one of those ones that people really love. It's funny. Cinderella, Peter Pan, Pinocchio, Aladdin, and did I say Cinderella?
Yeah, and Sleeping Beauty, obviously.
And Sleeping Beauty. They love, and sometimes they love the girl pantos, which are the Sleeping Beauties, the Snow Whites. Sometimes they love the boy pantos. This time, because we live in the world we live in, Robin Hood is a hell of a boy's story. You know, it's an adventure and it's the lads. Well, Marian, Maid Marian, who is worth her salt in being a feminist. And I've added the Babes in the Wood. So it's Robin Hood and the Babes in the Wood, which is Hansel and Gretel, and is a soft romantic story. So I've woven the two together, and we've got a nice folksy one that's more for the kids, maybe, the Hansel and Gretel, and we've got Robin Hood, which is a big adventure for the lads.
Well, that is, I just tell you, I find your brain has been wired very brilliantly.
Well, thank you.
Because to be able to put this together and to make these two worlds just come, because they're two different stories. But yep. I would imagine, and you've got Desmond Dube, and I haven't seen it yet because we'll get them on later.
Yep.
But he's obviously playing Fry Tuck.
Don't say it backwards. Don't spoonerize it.
I know.
Not now, on the radio. Okay. Please don't.
Okay,
so he's playing Friar Tuck, and he's doing it beautifully. He's playing him as a sort of slightly charismatic preacher man.
Mm-hmm.
And Desmond is wonderful to work with. He's got a great sense of humor. Obviously, there's lots of topical stuff and things like TV commercials that one can pop in and the whole audience recognizes them. So, yes, Desmond's great to work with and he's in it.
Well, you've worked with the wonderful Andre Swartz.
Yes.
And, of course, I have him on the line from his farm. Andre, thank you for joining us. In studio, we have Janice Honeyman. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, thanks, and it's wonderful. I'm getting snippets of the conversation and I'm hearing stuff about Desmond, which makes me very nervous to put him as a friar.
Be careful. Andre, tell us what it was like to work with Janice. Of course, you were in Aladdin.
Yeah, played Ebenezer.
I was in Aladdin? Yes. Is Janice going to hear what I'm saying? Because that will make a big difference to what I'm saying.
Absolutely, Janice can hear you.
I'm just saying, it was absolutely wonderful, as you know, Janice. What I love about the way Janice works is that she sows the seeds and off you go. And then she loves input. And then also she lets you develop stuff. And then she will rein you in and tell you where to go, which is wonderful because I think the nature of a pantomime is that it is not that incredibly rigid. So I think that flexibility is wonderful. And I think, Janice, also you must be a director with a lot of confidence to be able to do that and to be able to give actors that kind of space.
Yeah, no, for sure. The thing is that I know what the final picture is and I know what I want it to be, but how we get there is, you know, look, well, listen, 26 heads are better than one. So your cup and Toby Cronier's cup and all of our heads together are going to make a more exciting, more faceted kind of presentation. And then I'm the old jackboot big boss who pulls it all together in the end and discards what's not good and keeps what is good. And believe me, actors contribute fantastically. You too, Andre. And you're going to again.
I think once you're in Janice's stable, you're in.
Yeah.
there's a very strong possibility, as you know. I don't know what any cats are happening. Let's put it that way.
You don't say that again?
I know that there's a very strong possibility that we are going to be doing something together again soon.
Yeah,
magic.
For sure.
We're going to leave that right there. Andre, thank you for joining us. Before you go, what are you up to? What is Andre Swartz up to?
I'm having fun. I don't know, as I told you yesterday, I moved from Jacksonville, the heart of Joburg, to a farm outside in the cradle. And I start my mornings taking the horses out and feeding them at night and listening to the jackals before I go and sleep. So I'm really having great fun out there.
And thank you for joining us. And enjoy the farm life, country life, the simple life.
Yeah.
Please come and visit.
I shall.
Janis, good luck for this year's and it's fabulous.
Thanks, man. Thank you.
Be good. Thank you, André Schwartz. Great to have you. You've worked with Jeremy Mansfield. You've worked with some of the biggest names.
I've worked with Brian, who's the boxer?
Brian Mitchell, yes.
Mitchell. I've worked with Brian Mitchell.
You've had some real specials. These are not, André is, but Jeremy isn't a traditional actor.
No.
But a performer, obviously, on mic. Mm. Brian's a boxer. How do you get them in? How do you teach them how to act?
Well, first of all, not with Jeremy. Jeremy has got a big voice anyway, but they're not used to necessarily the discipline of the stage. And so you have to teach them that. You have to teach them projection. You have to teach them about audiences. You have to teach them about timing. So it's a lot of drilling. Mm. And at Brian's expense, and he won't mind. I gave him a magnificent entrance in his boxing shorts and his boxing gloves and things, walking down a laser tunnel with smoke and whirling things, and he had to walk down, but obviously it's technological, so it had to be timed exactly. Mm. So the opening night, big musical build up, in Brian comes, and his son, who was about 3 at the time or 4, screamed from the audience, "Daddy, hello, Daddy!" And so, of course, Brian said, "Hey, tell him my boy, how's it? You know, hello!" And the timing was going there. So that's always a risk with the inexperienced actors. But then they're such personalities that it's fine, and the audience buy them, and the audience love them. So it was good. It's always good to have a mix of people.
This is Cliff Central, and my special guest is Janice Honeyman, producer, director, actress, but of course, Mrs. Producer, as they say about Cameron McIntosh.
Yeah.
You are that of South Africa in many, many respects. I produced Three Talk and directed Three Talk with Nolene for 10 years.
Oh, yes.
Live.
Yeah.
It's an interesting world, live.
Yeah.
People won't insure us, you know that. In America, they won't insure live directors in general. It's hectic.
I know. It's as they weren't.
Because when Brian's going, "Hello, my boy,"
your
how's
heart
it?
Stops.
You're going, "Brian, I'm gonna kill you."
Yeah.
How do you get your temperament right as a director? How are you able to contain? How do you manage your anger and frustrations? Should I say?
Well, I don't kick the dogs.
No.
How do I do it? I have learned over the years that, I mean, I did once with a certain designer. He was being so difficult that I didn't want to fight in front of the cast. He wanted to. I just got so angry. I said, "Hang on, guys." And I got up and I walked out of the theater into the foyer and I kicked the wall so hard that
toe.
I broke my toe. And that's happened twice. I've broken both big toes in my career. One for a designer and one for a musical director. Bwah! And I mean, you know, I'm quite a placid person underneath it all, and so I wait for it to go. No,
I needed a lesson,
yeah.
Because sometimes I want to murder someone.
Occasionally I lose it, and I have lost it before privately, and then found that all the mics were up, so everybody heard it.
Oh,
that's not a good thing to do. But mostly I know what I want, and I deal with the dramas, and then steer it back to what I want.
I produced something called Chopped, and we had a cast in it. But now, obviously, all of the studios on comms.
Yeah.
And I said to the director, Eugene, I did turn every comm on. Come here. Who the F do you think you are? And you're fired. Get off my set.
Oh.
Our comms on. Anyone else got a problem? You can leave too. Boom. Comms off. Get back to work. I mean, just see you lose it.
Yeah, I respect my brother after that.
You know, you will. Because you have to sometimes really.
Sometimes you do need to.
I find something very interesting in the pantos in particular, and I like to come back to them because I think they're commercially brilliant.
Yeah.
If it's not an all gold tomato sauce or a big box of coup or.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know, in the last one which you used, it was very interesting. And I thought to myself, do you get these guys to sponsor the show?
You know.
This would be so clever to have OMO and stuff like that.
Yeah, no, well, we do have OMO with it. One cap is all you need. What's it? Just one cap is all you need. I can't remember what the tagline is, but.
In this one.
No. That was a few years ago. In fact, we've used it a few times and always gets a big laugh. We don't actually, we get sponsorship from radio, we get some sponsorship from Mnet, and, you know, we obviously put stuff in for them. But for me, the comedy of putting topical references and product in is really for recognition from the audience, and we don't necessarily get
we get
a bit of U Magazine from U Magazine, and so we put a line in and a U Magazine in. Oh, I've just remembered I haven't put it in anywhere yet. I'll put it in somewhere.
It's going to come in. I'm going to look for this one.
Look for the U Magazine, Jacaranda. So
I just think it's so clever commercially.
Yeah.
If you could get gold tomato sauce. It's such a clever commercial.
You know, a wonderful thing that happened once. Well, the very first panto we did was the dwarfs in Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs were so tired of the terrible food that they ate that Snow White brought them in a box of Oat So Easy, and they sang the Oat So Easy jingle. And then when they were, and it was so good for them that it made them grow. So the first half they were on their knees, and the second half they were on their feet. But then they needed more food, so they had Nando's. And you know that the guy from, we didn't get sponsorship or anything, but the man from Nando's, who, and it was right at the beginning when Nando's was first here.
Probably Fatty Sacks and Robbie Brosen.
They did this. Wrote us a wonderful letter saying, we want to thank you. We feel very honored that you've featured our product in your pantomime and all the rest. And that was lekker. I mean, you know, we weren't asking for money, but we got a big laugh on the Nando's chicken, and they gave us the laugh. So
and what I would have done is I would have sponsored you the chicken for the next season. That would have been me. That's just me. What do you love personally? What is your favorite things? Your animals, your dogs, clearly.
My dogs. Oh, I can't live without them. And I have a great deal of telepathy with my dogs. Like, I know exactly what they're thinking when they're thinking it. I know when I need to let them out into the garden, otherwise they're, you know. So, yeah, I know my animals very well. I love traveling. I love snorkeling. I love the sea. I love culture. I love learning about different people in different countries. And that for me is just, you know, if I can travel, I travel.
And what do you listen to? If you could listen to anything, is it Mozart?
It's opera. Well, one of them is Mozart, and it's opera. I have directed a lot of opera, and I now sometimes listen to classical music and think, where's the voice? Why isn't there a voice in here? So opera is my favorite.
I had the pleasure of just last week interviewing Mimi Kutsa.
Oh.
Doing a whole thing with, I've got a show called Veranderinge on CakeNet with Rudy Landman as the presenter.
Yeah.
And it was phenomenal. This woman was incredible.
Well, it's interesting. You know, I did her 80th birthday festive, you know, concert, her big kind
did you?
Of tribute
with Nathaniel,
concert.
They were all on it, yeah.
Yeah, and they were all in it. And there was Mimi, and she's fantastic. She is a
I mean, at that age.
Yeah.
Just, okay, she can sing, okay. She can't hit those notes, but yeah.
So
this has been the phenomenal Janice Honeyman. Thank you for joining me. Robin Hood and
the Babes in the Wood. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Got to get it right. That all happens starting mid-October.
Starting 2nd of November, previews start.
Preview start.
Press night is Sunday the 6th of November.
And it's on right until the 31st?
30th of December, okay, I think, it finishes.
Sorry, I don't have the details in front of me. All your other stuff.
Yeah.
But it's not to be missed, and it is, of course, the magic of the pantomime. We look forward to see The Colour Purple next year. Thank you for joining me. You'll come back.
Yeah, I'll come back.
Can't wait to have you. Thank you for being
fantastic
with us.
Fantastic.
Janice Honeyman. My name is Alan Ford. It's been good to be with you here on The Unview, The Thin, The Rich and The Fabulous. We're still working out who is thin, who is rich and who is fabulous. But hey, you never know what you're going to get. It's good to be with you. This is cliffcentral.com, and have the best week.
The Unview, The Thin, The Rich, and The Fabulous on cliffcentral.com. This is cliffcentral.com.